The usual drummer is on now mission trip. Samuel would have been here. Thank you. With the sermon series, A Journey Through the Lord's Prayer, we have been studying the model prayer Jesus taught us to pray. By slowing down to carefully consider each phrase of the prayer, we are seeking to better understand this prayer that we pray both individually as well as corporately, and to grow in our prayer life. Today we come to the phrase, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let us say that together. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. First, lead us not into temptation. If you have ever thought this phrase sounded somewhat strange, you are not alone. For years, Christians have wrestled with the actual meaning behind this puzzling phrase, "Lead us not into temptation." People have asked, why would we ask God not to lead us into temptation? Does it mean that God actually lead us into temptation here and there? Why? Why would God do that to us? For what purpose? Doesn't the Bible say that God will not tempt us? Actually, the Bible says so. The Bible says God does not tempt anyone. It's found in the letter of James. It reads, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." One of the Christians who have raised such questions is Pope Francis. About the rather confusing phrase, he writes in his book, Our Father, Reflections on the Lord's Prayer. This, "Lead us not into temptation," is not a good translation. In fact, if we open the gospel in the latest edition of the Italian Episcopal Conference, we read, "Do not abandon us to temptation." The French have also changed the text with a translation that means, "Do not let me fall into temptation. I am the one who falls. It is not God who tosses me into temptation in order to see how I fall. A father does not do this. A father helps his child get up right away. The one who leads us into temptation is Satan. That is Satan's craft. The meaning of our prayer is, when Satan leads me into temptation, please God, give me a hand. Give me your hand." It is like that painting in which Jesus holds his hand out to Peter, who is imploring him, "Lord, save me. I am drowning. Give me your hand." That is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. As you may have heard, over a month ago, Pope Francis officially approved a change to the translation of the Lord's Prayer. With a public announcement of this official change, all the Catholic churches and all the Catholics are now supposed to say, "Do not let us fall into temptation," instead of "lead us not into temptation." Actually, many scholars say this new line is a better translation of the original text. In his book, Jesus Through the Middle Eastern Eyes, Kenneth E. Bailey introduces a scholar's linguistic approach to the text. The scholar's name is Joachim Jeremias. He writes, his, meaning Jeremias, argument is that the Greek word for lead us that appears in this petition is asphero. The Aramaic equivalent to this Greek word is nisaion, which has two shades of meaning. One is causative and the other is permissive. The causative means do not cause us to go into temptation, that is, do not lead us. By endorsing the permissive, the text would mean do not permit us to go into temptations and trials. On our faith journey, the tendency is to turn aside into trials and temptations, and thus we are instructed to pray, as it were, "Oh Lord, hold us back and do not let us take that path." So until our own denomination changes the wording on the Lord's Prayer, we'll continue to pray, "Lead us not into temptation," whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer. But let us remember that God does not lead us into temptation. Whenever we say this phrase, we are asking God to help us not to fall into the temptations and trials that we might turn towards during our faith journey. Now let's take a closer look at the word temptation. According to one dictionary definition, temptation is a desire to engage in immediate, short-term urges or impulse for enjoyment that disrupts an individual's ability to wait for the long-term goals. Here is a funny story. There is a man who decided that he had some excess pounds to lose. He was very diligent and stuck to his diet plan very strictly every day. He even changed his route to work so that he could avoid driving by his favorite bakery shop in the morning. However, one day he came into work with a big coffee cake. As his co-workers started to scorn him, he said, wait, I have an explanation for why I bought this coffee cake. This morning, I accidentally drove past my favorite bakery today and saw all these delicious coffee cakes out on the display case. So I prayed, "Oh God," I prayed really earnestly, prayed to God, "Dear Lord, if you really think I should have this delicious coffee cake, show me an open parking spot right in front of the bakery." And guess what? God answered my prayer. There was one on my eighth time driving around. We all know all about temptations. The temptation is real, isn't it? It is what we wrestle with, not once in a while, but every day, every moment, we are bombarded with temptations. It is everywhere. There are innumerable temptations in the world, around us, and within us, and we are tempted all the time. I don't know about you. I'm not really tempted. I know many of us are tempted by sweet stuff, chocolates. Yes, I can. I may be tempted by dark chocolates because I like them. But usually when this bowl of sweet stuff sits on the desk, actually, it can, many days and weeks can go by, actually. I don't really, it's not my temptation. But I am tempted to just keep going whenever I hold my phone to just continue with this and that. I just keep going. Oh, 1 hour passed. You know, another temptation is on the road. I'm not tempted all the time, but once in a while, when someone just comes in, I have to put my foot on the brake suddenly and I have to stop my car like that. I'm really tempted to change the lane and go close to that car and look at the face of the driver. That's my temptation. I hope you don't do that. I hope that's not your temptation. Though the temptations may vary depending on our individual circumstances, we all share in the struggle with them, don't we? And when we give into temptation, our natural tendency is either to rationalize our actions or to blame someone or something else for what we have done. We avoid taking responsibility. We see it play out in the first biblical story of temptation in the book of Genesis. The Garden of Eden was a place of God's abundant gifts. There were plenty of fruits for Adam and Eve to enjoy. God told them they could eat from any tree in the garden except one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God warned them they would die if they ate from the forbidden tree. Then a snake, a tempter, came and said to the woman, "You will not surely die." So she did eat. She ate the forbidden fruit, and also she gave it to her husband Adam. And when confronted by God, neither of them is willing to take responsibility for their actions. Adam blames Eve, and Eve blames the snake. Adam and Eve's temptation and fall in the Garden of Eden is not just their story, the story that happened long, long, long ago. It is also our story, the story of our own temptation and fall. The Apostle James says, "One is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when the desire conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin grows up, it gives birth to death." I believe that is why Jesus included this particular phrase in his model prayer. Having also been tempted, Jesus knew the struggles his disciples would face as they were trying to live as his followers, as citizens of the kingdom of God. So he inserted this phrase into the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," knowing that they would pray it 3 times a day as faithful Jews. Martin Luther is said to have prayed two of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer, one at night and one in the morning. When he went to bed, he prayed, "Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And when he woke up in the morning, he prayed, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." praying for God's forgiveness at the end of the day, and then praying that God will lead him in the right path and deliver him from evil before he began the day. This was the daily rhythm of the great reformer's life. Now, finally, let's turn to the second half of the praise, but deliver us from evil. When we hear the word evil, images that come to our minds are terrible and horrible, such horrible things such as murder, rape, torture, abuse, genocide, war, and violence. But evil is more than that. Evil is anything that separates us from our true identity as God's children. Because when we forget our identity as God's precious children, we cannot see others as a beloved child of God also. All the horrible things we witness in the world are a result of this separation. Evil's fingerprints and handiwork have been around from the beginning of human history, ever since the temptation and fall in the Garden of Eden. We saw it in the slave trade. We saw it in the Holocaust. We saw it in the apartheid. We saw it in the genocide and ethnic cleansing, in the terrorist attacks. We see it now in the ongoing instances of racism, sexism, and homophobia. Today, we struggle with the temptation of evil when we look away. When we look away at the suffering all around us. When we look away from the growing number of people who sleep in tents and cars and on the streets and benches right here in Campbell. When we look away from the plight of desperate migrants at our borders and detention centers. When we look away from abused women and children in homes of domestic violence. When we look away from those who suffer from mental illnesses. When we look away from the destruction and devastation we have caused in Mother Nature. In our struggles with the choice between good and evil, right and wrong, in our temptation to look away, Jesus calls us to pray this prayer. Let us say it together, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because we need God's help. We cannot do this alone. We need God to lead us. We need God to remind us, because too often we forget who we are. So we forget to live and act as God's precious children. Would you continue to commit to praying the Lord's Prayer this week, as we have been for the last several weeks, meditating on how the phrase this week, particularly the phrase "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," helps you to re-engage the world around you? Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will, not we may, but we will live out the words we pray. So we give thanks to God for this prayer that Jesus gave us to pray. Now I invite you to sing the song together. I understand this is a very, very familiar song to me, but I understand to many of us, this might be the first time to sing. So let's sing this one with us. Let's sing this song twice then, right? Okay.
learners, you sing very well. Thank you. As we are worshiping, continue to worship, we know, as Elise pointed out in the prayer, pastoral prayer, our workers, mighty workers, 12, two adults and 10 youth are now on the way, driving up north to start their mission work. Their mission work is supported by, of course, starts with their commitment, their willingness to go and engage themselves in the week of work to make a difference in the lives of many people in need. But it is supported by, through the generosity of all our church family. Some of you gave money, actually, your dollar bills you gave. Some of you very faithfully participated in the drive of the collecting recyclable stuff that they, our youth could earn some money out of that. So in many different ways, our church family is supporting our youth in their mission work. So thank you. As we continue to worship with our giving, this action of giving our very best gifts, let us give joyfully and with generosity.